You're listening to Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast and the official podcast of the Lavender Legion.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-tier professional sports team in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I am here with Becky Morgan, Caitlin Whiteside. We are coming off of three games for racing, and Becky, Caitlin, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, a racing win, a racing loss, and a racing draw. It is Sunday night. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling kind of a range of emotions, you know, excited about the win. The game last night was pretty brutal, and the loss, not so great. So, you know, I'm just kind of feeling all of it right now, really.
I mean, I don't know. I'm such an optimist when it comes to racing, but I feel pretty good about all the game parts of all the games. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm not feeling like, woo, we're definitely in the playoffs, but like I'm feeling good about the team and the direction and their cohesion and the progress they've made so far this season.
Watching the racing spirit game, I'm reminded of my uncle's favorite joke, which was that he went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. And I feel that last night when we were watching that spirit game, where I watched it on replay today, that I was watching a fight and a soccer game broke out, because even by the standards of a physical league like the NWSL, that game was brutality. And Caitlin, you were there in person. Did you get any blood splattered on you? Did you have to cover your eyes?
So the funny part is that, so from my seats at Audi Field, I was kind of on one of the goal lines and up in the stands. So when Ari went down, like, I was with my cousins and we were like, what just happened? We couldn't tell. We thought maybe like, oh, did she lose a contact or something? Like, what's going on here? I saw no blood whatsoever. So it was news to me today when I saw that.
We couldn't really see it on the broadcast either, which is interesting. But I know that the commentators have like different feeds coming in so they can see all the different camera angles. So they were like, whoa, this is like a horror movie. Like, we're not getting close up on this.
And like, she didn't even have to like change her jersey, right?
No, I feel, and she also didn't go down right away, because like, she got hit in the head and they said it, and then they finished the play and then they started walking, and I think she's like, oh, my nose is bleeding. Then I wonder if she like tried to blow her nose or something and it just like all gushed out at once, because like, ew. It didn't take that long to stop it, and I don't think she was like running around with like the tampon in her nose like Rebecca Holloway and like Emily Fox have had to in the past, you know, like that's the common way you stop nosebleeds in sports. So,
but that was, I mean, that game was, Tom, you're right, it was brutal to watch.
Well, and we'll talk about it more, and you know, we will definitely think about a question to answer. Who are you taking in a fist fight between Jay Howell and Annie Sullivan? But first, Becky, let's get to our bottom line. Our starting line.
All right. So as you said, we had three games and they were the range of results that we could possibly have. So good, bad, and ugly is a pretty good summation of it. Let's start with the bad, and that was the loss to the North Carolina Courage. And the reason this game was bad is because it was so winnable for racing. They had the better chances, they had the higher XG, and yet they lost 2-1. And part of it was just like pure bad luck for the goals. But, you know, I am still heartened by the fact that Jordan Baggett was able to get one back at the end and that they fought to the end. So that was the bad. That was the disappointing game. And then we have the good, where they traveled to Chicago for the Challenge Cup and won 2-0 off goals by Uchenna Canoe. And we love Uchenna Canoe finally breaking through and getting a goal. And also a Sav DeMello set piece to the head of Parker Goins. I can never say her name right. The head of Parker Goins, who sent in an absolutely perfectly arcing header. And I mean, it went so high And then the way it dropped down right into the perfect corner. And she was like, I didn't even think it was going in. She thought she like,
oh, none of us did.
None of us.
Yeah.
No one did. And so like people started cheering and she's like, what? So, I mean, that was just kind of amazing on its own. And then we had the ugly last night. We're recording this on Sunday. So we had the ugly last night in that physical bruising matchup between the Washington Spirit and Racing, where it looked really bad in the beginning because Racing went down on about 3 minutes into the game. And we thought like, oh man, like, is this how this match is going to go? Is this old Racing? And no, they played themselves back into the game really well, in my opinion. And then Ari Borges got taken down in the box and Sav converted the penalty, brought it level. And then in the 76th minute, Eli Pukkiyemsa, a minute and 19 seconds after entering the match, won the record for the league's fastest red card when she took down Trinity Rodman and denied her a clear goal scoring opportunity. And it was an instant red. And so then Racing was left playing the final. I mean, they had over 10 minutes of stoppage time. So like, I don't know, 25, almost 30 minutes of play down a player. And yet, you know, they stayed cohesive. They played really well. And they managed to hold on to that draw and earned probably the hardest point Racing has earned all season, with the exception of maybe that Houston dash.
The Houston game. Yeah, that's what came to mind for me. They did the same thing for, actually, when did Sitara, when did she get her the second yellow? Was it
the first half?
Yeah, so they played a whole half like that.
Yeah, this year, I mean, I also think that the Houston draw in the very beginning of the season was the hardest earned point that we had, because I don't know, we came back from the Spirit even though we came back from a 2-0 deficit the last time we saw the Spirit, like, I don't feel like it was quite as hard as it was to hold, like, as this time, and then also to hold on to that point, or to hold on to the 0-0 scoreline with Houston. I mean, because like Lauren Mollet had to actively sit on the ball to like stop it at one point in that match. So, but either way, I mean, I still even felt like there was less scrambling in this game, and we'll talk about that. So, I mean, I think there's progress shown in how they were able to get this point out of the Spirit, but that is for a later discussion.
Plenty to talk about. And before we get to our prime cuts, our commercial break, where in the month of June, the Lavender Legion is hosting a Pride Razor for Camp Beacon, in which all of us are invited to make a pledge for every goal scored in the month of June. As I look at the website, Becky, it looks like you have pledged $5.02 for every goal. Is that right?
That is correct.
Excellent. We would invite you to go and support this worthy cause by making a pledge for the goals scored in June. And hopefully we can raise a lot of money, and the Lavender Legion can raise a lot of money for Camp Beacon, which is a wonderful cause.
Yeah, Camp Beacon is a camp for LGBTQ+ youth. So very much fits into the Pride theme and a great local organization that we want to support. And just remember, you don't have to pledge as much as I did. You can pledge more. You can also only pledge $1, but any little bit that you provide helps. So hope to see you pledging with us soon.
Excellent. And on to our first prime cut. We are approximately halfway through the season. We've just come through 3 games in a very short amount of time. It's a good time to take a look and say, do we think we know what this team is? Do we think they're getting better? They're getting worse? When you think about this team, what do you think?
When I think about the current team that we have with Racing, I definitely see improvement. However, I feel like maybe we've stalled just a little bit. Mm. Not gotten worse, not had a huge upwards trajectory, but they've reached a point where they're playing consistently, a little bit more consistently, and they've proven themselves against lower ranked teams, which has not always been the case historically. right? We haven't beaten teams that we should have. Whereas now we are beating teams that we should be beating. Now we need to beat teams that are above us that maybe we quote unquote shouldn't be beating. So they need to just, you know, take that next step. The talent is clearly there and they've clearly improved. So do I think they have more in them? I certainly hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I think time will just have to tell.
So I think this is a really interesting conversation, Tom, because last season, not this early, I don't believe, but also remember the regular season started later because the Challenge Cup was all loaded in front of it. So I actually think it was probably around this time that we had some of these conversations. Mm-hmm. But we had at least one pod where we talked about solely that Racing has no idea who they are, who they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that they say that they're something, but they have not demonstrated that they are that. And I think we talked about it a little earlier, but we had Michael Shaw on after the really disastrous Fill the Fam game. And we talked pretty bluntly about how, you know, they say they follow a certain style. They're not following it. They say that they're this, but they're not doing it. They were like, this is like almost the end of that 13 game winless streak. I think it was like a game 12 by this point. And then they mm-hmm. went and lost an even worse loss to North Carolina right after this, a 5-1 loss, which is one of the worst ones in Racing history. So it's interesting that at this point this year, I feel like I can say pretty firmly that I do think we know who Racing is, or better yet, Racing actually knows who they are. And
that's a good way to put it.
I'm not going to say that like they're executing who they want to be perfectly, you know, like I'm not saying that they're just like they've created this identity and now they're taking off, like they're flying like Superman and nothing will stop them. So I don't think that's true. But I do think that they can truly say that they are a high pressing team, and they are a high pressing team. Do they always execute the high press perfectly? No, we saw last night that they didn't, but they're still doing it much more consistently than they ever did before. And they're doing it much more successfully than they ever did before. I think we can now say, after having a little worry about this, that they are a very gritty team that has a mentality where they believe that they can win games. And that belief was lacking almost the entirety of last season. There were blips when they had it, but then through that huge slog, they went into games and they played hard, but I never truly felt that Racing went into games. They always went in on the back foot, waiting to be hurt, not thinking that they were the team that was going to win. And I don't think that's the case now. Even though they got off to a bad start against the Spirit, they worked themselves back into the game really, really well and played well. And so, I mean, it was an ugly game in a lot of ways, and Racing didn't play a perfect game, but I mean, they still held on to that point. And after the game, both DeMello and Ursig really talked about the mentality of the team in positive ways and how they feel that there's been so much advancement in how the team sees itself. I mean, even Abby, from the time that she's been here, but Sav specifically said that from this year and in these last couple months, like, you can see that this is a team that believes in themselves and is going to fight and is going to take the team forward. And so that's very different. And Ursig said the team's playing with a lot of heart. I don't have the exact quotes in front of me. They're great, not to plug my own stuff, but they're in my BGN article. You can also find them in the Racing press release on the Racing website, but look it up. They had really interesting things to say about the team mentality. And so this whole huge ramble is basically to say that I do feel like, for one of the first times in Racing's history, that they actually do have an identity and people are fully bought into it.
I can't believe that North Carolina traded away Abby Ursig and Carson Pickett.
I still can't believe it either. Yeah.
I mean, I really cannot believe that, because so much of what we've talked about in this, Caitlin and Becky, you all make great points about, and Caitlin, I loved what you talked about with them plateauing, and I want to circle back to that. But as far as all of the improvement that they've had, so much of it in my mind from watching just comes from those two balling out every single game. I do not see any situation where on that back line, where as nervy as it gets, my heart rate doesn't get as high as it used to, because you just say, well, Abby's back there. She's good. You know, whenever, what was a big complaint we had last year? They never get numbers forward. Well, the second that you see Carson Pickett take off, their numbers forward. I mean, she cannot get forward fast enough. And I honestly don't know how North Carolina let those two players go. No one that has listened to 30 seconds of this podcast will ever say that I don't have appreciation for Emily Fox. But I mean, I think if we would have gotten one of those players straight up for her, that the team would be improved this year. But I want to get back to what you said, Caitlin, because I think that a team needs to learn lessons. Racing did not know how to play with 10 players until they had to do it a little bit. You mm-hmm. need to go through those experiences. Their practice is no substitute for game time pressure in the toughest soccer league in the world. And I'm wondering, and the game against Washington is no different. They go down 10 players and they defend for 30 minutes and get away with a point. And everybody kind of knew what they were doing. Were there frantic moments? Yes, but I would chalk those up more towards the fact that you're down a player. And I'm wondering if the plateau that we are seeing, because I think you're right. I think that they play, especially they came out the season playing gangbusters, you know, a bunch of draws, but playing a lot better than we thought they were going to play. Is it the fact that they just have fewer lessons to learn? Are we hitting the opportunities to learn those lessons are diminished? Are we just hitting kind of the dog days of summer? Or is it a situation where teams know that they've got give a little bit more effort to racing? And to the extent that racing was off the Thorns radar, off the Reigns radar early on, this week, the Spirit knew that they had to show up or they were going to lose. What do you think, if you could pinpoint some reasons for, as you would say, a little bit of a plateau, what would you say, Caitlin, would be those reasons?
I think your last point about, you know, other teams kind of starting to take racing seriously, I think that probably has something to do with it. Yeah, I think we are learning these hard lessons in games, but we're learning them. We're not just going through these difficult games and not getting anything out of them like last year, right? So they're building continuously on to the season and their progress throughout the season. So I think it's a combination of things. And in terms of like how they get out of the plateau, I don't know. We've alluded to it earlier in the season. We have a number nine problem, but Temby's looking really good up there when she is in. Yeah. So she's only getting about, you know, like 30 minutes or something so far. But, you know, I wonder when she starts getting goals, because she makes an immediate impact when she's on the field, right? So I just feel like once we get that position nailed down and we can have somebody who can get us goals like that, that's going to help so much, because it's going to take some of the pressure off of the defense and the midfield. You know, we could score goals and not just have to defend the entire time. Yeah. So, yeah, I think in terms of why they've plateaued, it's a bunch of different factors, and just hope we can start moving up the mountain again.
So first of all, I like 100% agree that having a number nine that can finish clinically is our biggest problem. Everything else is aligned. Like you said, we got Ersig and Pickett. They fortified our defense, which gave so much more freedom to our midfielders and our forwards to play more freely. And so as a result, you know, everything is functioning much better, because we had such an out of whack defense last time that no one else could truly stay in shape and function when they were so out of whack. So the fact that we now have a very disciplined and organized back line compared to anything we've ever had before. And we do have a solid back line. I mean, I think they've been very successful on the whole. everything else is functioning better. But I'm really, really, really fascinated by the fact that you both think that the team is plateauing, because I think that that shows just how much our expectations have risen about this team. I mean, guys, there's been one loss in six games and you think we're plateauing? We've never had a run of play like this. I mean, yeah there's a problem in the fact that we're not beating teams above us. That is a huge problem. I'm not saying like, right, like again, you know, my praise is not that Racing is taken off and that they're going to be an automatic playoff team, because I'm increasingly doubting that they are going to be a playoff team. But they're so much better than they've ever been. There is not a single game last season or the season before that I went to and I'm like, Racing is going to win this game. And in the Chicago and Kansas City games, I went to them and was like, Racing is probably going to win these games, and they did. And I mean, I've never had that level of confidence. And sure, have Kansas City and Chicago had a bad run of play? Yeah, but we lost to teams that were doing pretty poorly in the past before. I mean, we lost to teams below us in the standings in past years. So, I mean, the fact that we are very firmly winning games against people for the most part that are below us in the standings is new for Racing. You know, so like, I don't think the team is plateauing. I do think that like their trajectory is maybe a little slower, and it's not like the sharp curve that we hope for once they got like their first two wins. Like, I mean, they're not like rocketing off. I mean, I would think that they were rocketing off if they had beaten North Carolina. But the fact that they played statistically the best game that they've ever played against North Carolina, where they generated more chances, where they generated more expected goals, even though they lost it, like, that is still an improvement. And I know that, like, at the end of the day, it's the 3 points or the 1 point you earn. So, like, that is that game was not a win. But it's not like we played a team above us in the standings and instantly got rolled. And then we came into the Spirit and we managed to get a point out of them. And they were in third place when we played them. And so, I mean, that's way higher than North Carolina was. And we got a point out because I think Racing has finally learned how to hold on to a result. You know, that's what they struggled with earlier in the year. And, you know, even though they did scramble at times in that 30 minutes that they were down a player, they were also very disciplined in a lot of ways. In that amazing goal line clearance that Carson Pickett had that like saved the game in like the 97th minute, something like that. It was because Katie went out of goal, completely flubbed catching the ball, and then Pickett and Holloway immediately stood in goal and took the place of the goalkeeper, so the goal was completely blocked.
Mm-hmm.
If they had not done that, if they had not immediately had that situational awareness to do that, then the ball wouldn't have been cleared. It would have been in the back of the net, and Racing would have lost the game. So they've learned to be disciplined. They've learned to do exactly what they're supposed to do tactically better than they ever have before against one of the most potent offenses in the entire league. So, I mean, not saying that they're going to come out and like blow San Diego out of the water, because it looks like they're heading towards first place based on the last time I looked at the game against Gotham that's happening right now. But I don't think they're plateauing. I think that they're still rising. It's just not like the super blast off rise that we all wanted for them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. It's slowly but surely improving. And yeah, to me, I kind of see it as more of like building blocks, like steps.
Sure.
But the steps are like small steps, like not. Yeah.
One loss in six games, guys.
I know.
One loss in six games. And I know two of them were against Chicago and two of them were against Kansas City. And like, that's like beating up.
No, we're not. This is the NWSL.
We were that injured team so many times that was losing constantly that like, I'm sorry. Like, it's nice being the bigger team that plays better and like effectively, like truly beat them. Like, not games where we came really close and we edged it out. Like, no, we more solidly won those games than we practically ever solidly won games in Racing's history. So those were real victories, and we shouldn't blow them off.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I really appreciate, a little bit of a sidebar to talk about the back line a little bit, because I follow Racing and I follow the league separately, but mostly Racing. And during the lead up to the North Carolina game, I asked the Lavender Legion Slack So who are their good players? And pardon me for forgetting her name, but a few folks that are recovering North Carolina Courage fans said Carolyn. Carolyn, pardon me. Nothing but respect. And during that game against North Carolina, my seats were watching her attack low melee, and they were going after her. They were going after her with skill. And I thought to myself, self, you best put some respect on low melee's name, because she, for the first time, I thought to myself, you know what? She might be able to hold down this right back spot going forward for the next few years to come. I don't know that I had ever really given her the respect that she deserves.
Yeah.
And I think some of it is the fact that Kim's always asked her to do everything, and she has. She's not someone who is going, she's not like Trinity Rodman, Kirsten Davis, who's going to, you know, run you off the field. Her game is tenacity and playing tough and playing smart. And North Carolina got nothing through her. She frustrated them coming up on the right side. And then I watched her against Trinity Rodman, and Trinity got frustrated by her.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that what low melee needs, and this is going to sound weird, I guess, but I think she just needs experience. I think that
that's not weird
for the, you know, her, cause she's a 4-year vet, but we played her all over the field. I mean, Becky, I think we joked that she was going to be the first player to play all positions on the field. If we ever got up enough goals, Kim was going to put her as goalie. She'd be like a miniature goalie, but a goalie nonetheless. And if she just figures out positioning and just refines the mental part of her game, I think she's got the job. And I don't know that, I think that when you look at the off-season to-do list for Ryan Dell, I think that you take find a right back off that list or move it way down in case somebody falls in your lap, because she has really impressed me against some of the top attacking players in the league. And a few pods ago, Caitlin, you said defense, defense, defense. Man, our back line is good. They are exponentially better than at any point in the club's history. And it is nice to, I did not watch the Spirit game live. I watched the replay today. And when I saw that we went down a goal early, I thought, well, we're not going to give up a second goal. Now, it was awesome not watching it live, because it probably would have taken years off my life.
Oh, yes, but it did. It aged me 10 years. Easily. Easily.
I mean, but, you know, it's funny, though, because knowing the result, I loved that game. Because if you don't have to sweat through, like, worrying, it's like, okay, there's a good chance that my chest pains during these last 10 minutes are not an imminent heart attack, you know, and you just watch the game and appreciate it, the defense is just, they're so gutty. They play so hard, and I just never feel like a game is out of reach. No matter where it's at, you know that we're not going to give up stupid goals, which, of course, we'll give up stupid goals. Everybody does. But I think it's interesting, though, that we have, you know, talked about this club, this trend, what we've been seeing in this so far in this season, and not one time has any of the three of us mentioned Sav DeMello or Jay Howell. Becky, have we seen the best of those two? Which I think they're probably, that's kind of a joke question, but which of those players has impressed you more this season?
That's almost an impossible ask, but I do want to go back really, really quickly and just say that, like, one thing that I really admired in the press conference is Lauren Millay got a bunch of praise from Abby Ersig at the end of the press conference. She said that what she lacks in stature, she more than makes up in aggression and energy, and I thought that was a great quote. I tweeted out the whole press conference. Abby clearly read it, but the only thing that she tweeted out was the quote that she talked about Lauren Millay, and she retweeted that and liked that because she wanted to make sure that instead of praise for herself or anything talking about what she did, she wanted to make sure Lauren Millay got praise. So I really respect that. I think that was a really good leadership, you know, veteran player thing to do. So I highly respect that.
Totally respect that, but you have to choose one. Who has impressed you more, Sav or Jay?
See, I think, are you going to ask the same question to Caitlin? Are you?
Better not.
Because I
can't
think,
answer.
I think Caitlin would say Sav, and because you're a honorary DeMello, I will not take Savannah from you. I mean, I'm going to say Jay because Jay has been so quietly amazing, and she has not been getting the same praise as Savannah. And I mean, Savannah deserves all the praise in the world, but she's getting it. I mean, she's getting the accolades that she very, very rightly deserves. Where Jalen has just been a wrecking ball everywhere she plays, and she's so much more disciplined. And I mean, every single game, she is beating everybody on both teams in either interceptions, tackles and tackles won, aerial duels and aerial duels won. I mean, she is one of the top players getting touches, one of the top players with accurate passes on the team. And she's playing really good football, and she's also taken some really good shots in the past two games and come really close. And so, I mean, I love that for her. I cannot wait until she absolutely scores a banger. I feel like, you know, it's coming, and it's coming really soon, because she's getting closer and closer, and she's so smart about when she actually takes shots too, which I really appreciate. Like, she's not trying to do everything and hog the ball and go forward. Like, she has been such an excellent point of distribution, where, you know, the ball might go to the left, the right. If it goes to the center, she's been absolutely brilliant at picking who to pass to, whether it's Savannah, whether it's Ari, whether it's Wong, whether it's up to Paige, whether it's over to Pickett, if Pickett's making a run, over to Malay. I mean, she reads the game so well that she knows exactly where she needs to be, and sometimes I feel like almost reads passes before the person passing the ball is 100% certain where they're going. So Jalen, I give her absolutely all the accolades, because I think that she is having a really quietly brilliant game, and I think that she, I don't want to say she played Andy Sullivan off the field, but she very much outplayed Andy Sullivan, who is certainly going to the World Cup. And I mean, I wonder if Flacco is watching that game going, ooh, okay. I mean, she's not going to make the roster.
Right.
She has not had any recent caps, but I mean, all other things aside, and like, definitely Washington's forwards deserve higher ratings than Racing's did. But like, in terms of midfield and some of the defenders, I mean, like, Racing ate that game up, and Jalen was a big part of that. And she was also great at when they went to a 4-4-1 after the they went down to 10 players. She was playing center back for a little while, and then when they subbed in Holloway and Baggett, then she moved back up to her natural holding midfield position or central midfield position. So I mean, flexibility. She's played as an 8. She's played as a 6. She's played as a center back now. I give Jalen all the credit. I think she's done an exceptional job, and I think we need to be better about saying it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that position, the sixth position, is not always the most glamorous, and they don't get the most attention because they do a lot of the dirty work. But I mean, you can't watch Jalen this season and not see the improvement and just see how like crucial to this team she is.
Amen. Yeah.
And so actually, yeah, I would also pick Jalen because, to me, we've known Sav has been good since last season. We've been saying it, and people are just now realizing it, but we've known that. And I mean, we've known Jalen's good too, and she's had the potential, but she's really like reaching it now. So, but I do love them both.
Well, they're two sides of the same coin, which is why they're so brilliant together. I mean, in the coffee with midfielders and cars or whatever that great little video thing was between the two of them that was released this week. I'm pretty sure it was in this that Sav said that, you know, oh no, Jalen and I have played together forever. And like, I love that we've always loved that I've been the attacker and she's been like the defender in the midfield, and that like we play off each other perfectly. And so, I mean, that was really brilliant to draft both of them. When the opportunity came up, because they do have a history playing together and they do absolutely complement each other, I think as good, if not better, than any attacking midfielder and defensive midfielder do in the entire NWSL. So, I mean, they boost each other and make each other better players. And that's one of the things that's so exciting about both of them.
So what I don't get, it's like Racing Louisville. Why is there not a, I believe the technical term is Shirzy, like the t-shirt with the player name and number being sold for DeMello, for Jay Howell? This gets me so mad.
You know, I fought for this. I have actively presented this to Ryan Dell, and we'll do it again probably tomorrow. Because
give us the Shirzies.
Yes, give us the Shirzies.
Do a limited run. Make 200 of them. Sell them at the games. Charge $50. I spend $50 every time I go to the stadium. Granted, that's just for two beers and a bottle of water, but I still spend it. And I will, like, let me go in and buy a Sav DeMello or a Jay Howell Shirzy.
But don't sell them online, because there's so many people who would buy a Sav DeMello Shirzy who are not racing fans and be willing to pay like the $25, $30 on it and not a full kit. Like, that's what kills me.
Yeah, racing, we're trying to make you money.
Oh, that's ridiculous. No, I have, you are leaving money on the table. Come on. I think about, like, and not just for those two. I think about, I would have bought a Shirzy for Freya. I would have bought one for Nadia. I would have bought one for, oh my God, like 50 different players. My wardrobe would be nothing but racing Shirzies, but I bought zero Emily Fox gear, and because I didn't want to buy a kick, it's too expensive. $125, too expensive. $50, more doable.
They're also not wearable. Like, I'm not going to wear the kit to the grocery store. I will wear a Shirzy to the grocery store.
You're not a real fan, Becky.
Oh, come on.
I'm just kidding.
So now, as we look at, and by the way, getting midfielders in the car getting coffee was utterly delightful. If you haven't watched that video, please do. A big takeaway for me is that Jay Howell drives a giant vehicle.
The tank.
And then talks about how narrow the roads are while demonstrating it by taking both hands off the wheel. It's like, no wonder cars get out of the way when they see you coming, Jay. You're like, look at how narrow this road was. Gestures with hands and takes hands completely off the wheel.
Nothing that crazy has been seen in a Louisville street since before we started recording this podcast. And a man rode a penny farthing bicycle down the street. And I had to stop the both of you from talking because I was like, oh my God, what is that? It's an old timey bicycle. And then I took a picture and sent it to you both.
The ones with the huge front wheel and the tiny back wheel.
Guys, can you imagine if the tank and that bike, like, if they met in the street, like,
only in Louisville. I mean, the city's small enough, it could happen.
I hope it does.
Oh my goodness. We are looking at the club. We have gone through, you know, where we think the club is about halfway through the season. The question comes between the regular season and the Challenge Cup. Becky, do you think that the club should put emphasis on one or the other, trying to win one versus trying to win the Challenge Cup versus pushing regular season?
I think that they're always going to push for the regular season. And I think that they should. I mean, you're only going to get better if you play these harder teams on different coasts, because, like, let's face it, we have an easier division in the Challenge Cup than some of the other divisions. Because we have that, I mean, I do think that, unlike other teams, I do like the strategy where we are going much more aggressively into the Challenge Cup and trying to win it. Like, we are rotating players, but we're rotating them less. I mean, God bless Abby Erstig and her health, because she is the player this year that never leaves the field. I mean, Millay actually, I don't know if she subbed in during Chicago, but she didn't start. And that was, like, the first time she, like, hasn't started a racing game, like, ever in racing's history, I think. Very possibly.
Ooh. That sounds like it's not true, but probably could be true, because
I honestly think it might be true. And, I mean, good, she deserves a break, but you know, I we're rotating, but we are not rotating to the degree that a lot of other teams are. And I think we're going really hard to at least make the semifinals. And I think we have a really good shot of getting there. And I think that's great, but I don't think that we should do it to the detriment of, like, giving up on the regular season. I mean, we have a really tough stretch of games coming up where we're playing San Diego, Gotham, and then North Carolina again. Weirdly, San Diego is the only team that has yet to beat Racing ever still left, which is crazy because they're always so high ranked. In the two games we played against them, we beat them and we drew them.
I'm still salty about that second game.
Oh, did they say, was it that the foul on Telford? Did they say she fouled Telford? Yeah.
Quote unquote foul. Yeah. Anyway.
The Telford is the goal, was the goalkeeper.
Yes.
At least during that game. It's normally obviously Kaylin Sheridan. Yeah, so I mean, we historically play well against San Diego. Maybe we'll have a good result. We're obviously feeling pretty good about ourselves. I think Gotham, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea what we'll look against this new Gotham. I don't think Gotham really knows how they'll look against the new Racing either, with a completely different back line. And then North Carolina, I mean, I think that they're definitely beatable. Do you know that this makes me angry too. So like North Carolina didn't play badly about us. This is just like a weird little tangent. It took them like 60 minutes. Or 60 minutes to get a shot off against Kansas City last night. Like, what the hell happened to you, North Carolina? They lost 1-0 to Kansas City, but they didn't even get a shot until well into the second half. So God only knows. Like, I didn't watch that game. I'm almost tempted to just to be like, what happened? Mm-hmm. But I'm still feeling like North Carolina is a beatable team after that. I mean, maybe Kansas City is coming together a whole lot more now that they have Kristen Hamilton back. We will see. But either way, I think that it is a good strategy to put emphasis on the Challenge Cup as long as it is not emphasizing it over the regular season, if that makes sense. Because I think our best chance at getting hardware or any kind of like, because I mean, they would get a bonus just for being in the semifinals. Like they'd get a monetary bonus just for making the semifinals. I think our best chance of getting any kind of that little boost, any kind of like accolade this season. Not saying it's impossible for us to make the playoffs, but I think it's much more likely that we make the playoffs in the Challenge Cup.
Well, though, when we talk about, you know, when we talk about emphasizing one or the other, we're really just talking about Abby's minutes. I mean, we're joking, but not really. Is there any other player that you don't necessarily want players playing 90 minutes plus three times in 8 days? Fair. But other than that, I don't know that there's anybody on the club that I worry. I mean, Jay and Sav are young. I mean, Ari's young. Kirsten Davis is young.
Yeah, Abby's our oldest player, ironically, I'm pretty sure. And yet CB's run so much less. That's why.
Yeah.
And she's smart. She's very smart with her effort. Which is good. Although, speaking of players that run a ton, and this isn't Challenge Cup or regular season related, but it does kind of go back to what we had talked about earlier. A player that I have been very impressed with her effort is Paige Monahan. Mm-hmm. Paige runs. She runs her tail off every single time I see her. I'm impressed with her effort. She has got to find a way to get it in the goal. It seems like she does it all except for the last touch. The last pass isn't quite there. She missed an open goal against North Carolina.
That one hurts. Yeah.
I'm sure she's still thinking about that. I hope not, but I mean, kind of hard not to.
And she has been a great addition. But when we talk about Temby coming back, and I imagine that her minutes, she'll be looking to get full time and be 100% back up about the time World Cup starts. Now, did they make the World Cup? Will she be going?
They haven't announced it for South Africa. I mean, she's been looking so good. I'd be kind of surprised if she didn't make it, but there is a chance that maybe they wouldn't select her considering she's been injured for so long. But South Africa is going. So she is a player that we would very likely, I think, lose.
I can't imagine that there is another player, and not just South Africa, for any country, that even if she's not giving you full minutes, is going to be better than Tembi Kotlana for 45. She is a super sub, so to speak. And I wonder, when she comes back full strength, do you look to put her in the nine? Is that going to be out of position, or does she take over the starting spot from Paige Monahan?
I actually think she might take it over on the opposite side as a forward on the right side, but I really don't know. But I think that she'd probably alternate between the wings and as a nine. I don't think she's going to take it from Paige. Maybe they would alter the two of them, because like you said, Paige has been doing remarkably well. I just want to have a little more consistency out of her, because she'll have like an excellent game, and then she'll have a game where she's really not that visible, and then she'll have an excellent game, and she'll have a game where she's not that visible. And then she'll like have a, even if she doesn't score, you know, she like makes plays, does really well. It's that back and forth of, you know, how effective she is that is what worries me a little bit with Paige. But I mean, I don't know. I think she's doing well enough that, I mean, she definitely doesn't lose all her minutes. And I think she'll still get substantial time on the field. I don't know what you think, Caitlin.
Yeah, I agree that she needs to be more, a little bit more consistent with her play. And I think she's actually poised to maybe break out a little bit
during the World Cup.
During the World Cup, yeah, because mm-hmm. there are players that do that. You know, they get to play more
Midge Purse.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we could maybe see that from her if she keeps it up and gets a little bit more consistent.
And that's a really good point too, because I mean the other thing we haven't talked about with the Challenge Cup is. And the reason Racing might be really poised to do well during it is because half of it is during the World Cup. The semifinals aren't, but the group play is. And as far as players being lost in the World Cup, Racing's due to lose a bunch of them. But, you know, it's not going to be Jalen Howell. It's probably not going to be Sav DeMello. It's not going to be Abby Ersig. It's not going to be Carson Pickett. It's not going to be Katie Lund. I mean, I would say that it's not going to be Lauren Millay. Those five players are... you know, the backbone of Racing, and we're going to have all of them. And then, I mean, Paige Monahan isn't going to go, and she's been great for us. Like, yeah, I mean, is it going to hurt to lose Wong? And Ari is the one who I think is going to absolutely hurt us the most.
Yeah, it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm. But Ari, Chitty, Tembi, Uche, possibly Murray, possibly Nadia. I think those are the six players. We lose them and that's not the end of the world for us. I mean, I honestly have to say that, like, as excellent as Tembi is getting, she's not yet, you know, an absolutely irreplaceable part on our field. And even though Uche has been doing really well, and I know she hasn't been scoring goals, but she's been pressing really well and causing a lot of problems for opponents. I mean, she's been an effective player on the pitch, and like it will be hard to lose her, but I mean, Amina's going to be right back at that time.
That's right.
You know, get Parker Goins some more minutes, because I mean, she's scored 2 goals in 4 appearances. So, I mean, yeah, I think that we're actually going to be really better equipped to deal with the World Cup break than other teams are, which is why we might take off and really want to prioritize the Challenge Cup.
That's a really good point, Becky.
Well, I don't know that the players are going to lay off the Challenge Cup by any stretch, because, man, make a few bucks. What? How much money goes to the winning club?
We don't know exactly, because they haven't said how it's going to be broken down, but the whole prize pool for everybody that makes it to the finalists is now $1 million. That's double what it was before. And the winners last year, which included Carson and Abby, got $10,000. I mean, that's a third of the base salary, close to a third, maybe more of a quarter now, of the base salary of the NWSL. So, I mean, that is a substantial lump of money. And if it's doubled and they literally just double the pools exactly as they were, then they're going to get $20,000. And I mean, that is a massive amount of money for almost anybody in the NWSL, except for the very, very top players. I mean, $20,000 is probably a massive amount of money for anybody in the NWSL. Let's be real.
$20,000 is a massive amount of money for everybody in this country. So yes. Everybody in the world. I mean, that is a lot of coffee from that's a lot of lattes there.
It is. So I mean, I don't know if it's going to double that, but I mean, at least they have a good chance of getting, like, I don't know, $5,000-$10,000 out of this. That is nothing to sneeze at. And I also think the Challenge Cup is just such a good confidence builder. I mean, we talk about, like, oh, they've only lost 1 in 6 games, but they've only won 2 regular season games. And I mean, that is the, not red flag, but that is definitely the flag that's waving that we need to pay attention to. But they've been able to really keep their confidence up and I think play really well because they've had these Challenge Cup games where they've been able to go in and just excel. And so, I mean, DeMello has just like gone off and her confidence has been sustained through it. And the team's been able to come together more because of it. So, I mean, yeah, I think for Racing as a specific team, possibly more than any other team in the entire league, the Challenge Cup is almost a gift.
I think that if you are Kim Bjorkegren, you need to win every game you can. We've talked a lot. We've talked about the players and the club, but his seat is still hot. And,
yeah. You
know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It gives me no joy to say that, but this is a results business. I find it hard to believe that if this team does not make the playoffs and has a very poor showing in the Challenge Cup, which so far they're doing great.
Better than any other team in the league.
That is a tough end of year meeting with him and the leadership at Soccer Holdings. I mean, his seat is hot.
I agree, but the interesting thing about him is he's been the one coach who has fully stated aggressively, we want to get to the semifinals of the Challenge Cup. We want to get to the playoffs in the Challenge Cup. The Challenge Cup is one of those things where you can like not say much about it. And if you play crappy, you can be like, oh, we just didn't care that much about it and brush it off. Or if you do well, you can be like, oh, this is the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And Racing has been the one team that I've seen where they've absolutely said, we want to use the Challenge Cup. The Challenge Cup is going to be an important tool for us. So I think Kim's aware of that. And I also think that's a smart approach on his behalf too.
Well, before we get to the mint mix, which I'm very excited to see what Caitlin has for us this week, since I was getting ready to throw to you anyway, Caitlin, is there anything that either racing opponents, the league, or anybody can't be doing this, guys?
Oh, we didn't do it. Yeah.
Oh, Tom, I'm so glad you asked. Because I was gonna butt in earlier when Becky mentioned it, but I didn't, but my can't be doing that is Ellie Picciamsa. You can't be getting red cards a minute into the game. Can't be doing that.
I disagree. She can be doing that. She saved that.
Okay. Yes.
She preserved it. If it had been an ugly, dangerous foul where she actually hurt Rodman, if it had been a red for dangerous play, I absolutely would not agree. But they both just fell to the ground. It was just disrupting the play. It was only a dogzo. That is like, what is it?
It's a professional foul.
Yeah, basically a very strong professional foul that denied an obvious goal scoring opportunity. I think she can be doing that. I think she saved the game.
Okay. I did struggle with this a little bit because yes, Trinity Rodman was poised to score. She was gonna be one on one with Katie. She was gonna score again. So Ellie did what she had to do. It was very unfortunate, but it did save the game. But in any other game, I would say you can't be doing that, Ellie, because playing with 10 people for that long is so stressful for everyone involved. I told you it aged me 10 years. I bet it aged the players that much too, because you're just holding on for dear life and you can't get forward. You literally just have to park the bus. And for 20, 30 minutes.
How good did they do at still getting ahead? I mean, in those final minutes, Katlana still managed to make that run where they got the set piece right at the top of the box. I did not mm-hmm. think that there was going to be a chance in heaven, earth, or hell that we would have another chance that close. I mean, Racing came as close as the Spirit to winning that game in stoppage time, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, so I guess it's like a half. You can't be doing that sometimes, Ellie.
Well, you can't be getting beat like that. That you have
right,
to.
Right. That's correct. So
sorry, I don't mean to be that contrarian, but like I feel very strongly.
No, that's fair.
That was a very necessary red card.
However, okay, if we had lost the game, you would not be saying that.
No, but we didn't lose the game because we came together by playing hard and gritty. So
yes.
I even say that exactly in my recap. I said if it would be different if we had lost the game.
Yeah, or if she had taken her down in the box and there was a PK. That would have been disastrous.
No, you can never be doing that.
And it was very, very, very close.
Which is why she did it, yeah.
Yeah, you can sort of be doing that, Ellie.
You can only be doing that if it saves a game. Any other time, you can't be doing that.
I mean, but like you said, I mean, it's very true. Like, I mean, she did put the team in a position where they had to defend for 20 plus minutes with 10 players. When if Rodman had been allowed to score there, maybe with 11 players, Racing would have been able to get another goal too. But I'm not entirely confident that they would with our finishing being so weak. Mm-hmm. You know, I say our finishing is weak, and yet we're scoring more goals than like we've ever practically scored in like recent runs. I mean, we are scoring goals, but we're generating so many chances that it feels like we're not scoring enough.
Our expectations are higher, Becky.
I think that's like truly my whole point, that like we're doing so much better than we feel we're doing because the team, by all accounts, should be doing even better than the results mm-hmm. they're getting because they're playing that well. compared to how they've ever played before.
Even though I knew how it was going to end, because as I said, I rewatched it today for the, or watched it today for the first time. I will say this: down 10 players, Sav DeMello with a free kick 10 feet outside the box to win the game. I'm going to take that every time. I mean, I am still, even though I knew that she missed it, I am still shocked that she missed it, but I'll still take it.
What do you guys think about that play? Because I was utterly baffled by the fact that they tried to go through the wall. I don't think she mishit that. I really truly think that Tembi was blocking it because they were trying to like cut in between the defenders so the goalkeeper wouldn't see where to go for it. Like she was trying to slot it in the bottom corner. I don't like that because it obviously didn't work, but I think like 1 out of 100 times you're actually going to get it through the wall. It's so much better to just go above them and go hard and direct, I think. Especially when Sav has been so successful at that. So what do you guys think about that play? I was kind of befuddled by it a little bit.
I mean, I see what they were going for. And I think you're right. I think it was on purpose. I don't think Sav does anything. You know, she messes up, but
Tembi wouldn't
not
have blocked
the free kicks.
And sit in front of it that long if they weren't trying to do this deliberately. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not mad that they tried something else out. She's done them low before. You remember Gemma's goal last year? She sent that into the box really low. And Gemma flipped it in.
That's right.
So, but that was a different angle. It was a different distance away. So I see where they were coming from. I just don't know if the positioning was ideal for it.
Why not just keep doing what's worked in the past? And none of her set pieces have been what brought her success last year. They've always tried to like go for the header, float them a little bit, or like this time go through the wall. Like, why not just let her do what her bread and butter is? Are they just that convinced that teams are so prepared to deal with it that it won't be successful? I don't know. I'm a little confused by why we're suddenly doing so many cutesy set pieces. Like, against some of the earlier games, excuse me, I think this is because Carson wasn't on the pitch, but we had, like, those weird short corners where, like, Wong would hit it directly to Ari, who would then hit it back to Wong and then send the cross in from a different location. Like, we're just doing so many cute little things for set pieces, and I don't know exactly why.
And did you guys see Ari take a corner kick last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was... Has she done that before?
Maybe she's done one or two. Well, she's gotten an Olympico for Brazil.
That's right. So maybe that's what they were trying to do.
I'm not against her doing it, but Wong usually takes them, I'm pretty sure, on that side.
Yeah.
Wong was on the pitch. No reason she couldn't. But for whatever reason, Ari did at least once. Or did she do all of them? Was there only one on that side? There were a few on Carson's side. They did a few from the left. I know that. Carson did at least two or three.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and watch it again. I think I blocked most of it out.
There's a 90% chance, Caitlin, that you received a head injury just by being at that game yesterday.
Guys, when Washington scored 2 minutes in and I'm the only Racing fan with my Racing kit on and everybody else is standing up celebrating and I'm just like head in my hands, like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
That's how I felt in Portland.
Then when Sav got the PK, I was standing up and nobody else was. So,
and did they boo you?
No one booed me. They were nice. They were booing the players and, you know, whenever a call would not go their way, even if it was the correct call, they would boo, but not me. People left me alone. It was fine.
I love booing. I like that passion.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Genuinely surprised that a woman born and raised in Philadelphia is pro Boo.
I knew that was coming. My nickname is Boo. My whole family doesn't call me Becky or Rebecca. I've never been called Rebecca by anybody in my family. It's Boo because I was born the day before Halloween. So booing is in my actual DNA.
Wow. Boo Morgan.
Boo Morgan.
It's never been used with the last name before. It's just Hey Boo. Like literally since I was literally born. Before they knew what my name was, they called me Boo. So.
That is excellent, and I cannot think of a better segue to get to the Mint Mix and what songs we're adding this week.
Oh, man, guys. I had fun making this because I love a good theme when it comes to the Mint Mix. It makes it a lot easier for me. And one Sav DeMello provided the perfect theme this week in the midfielders in cars getting coffee video. But Jalen asked her, what kind of music do you listen to like pump yourself up? And Sav has a wide array of music that she listens to. And the one that surprised me and also delighted me greatly was the song Bodies by Drowning Pool, which is a new metal band from the late 90s, early 2000s. And I just love that she listens to that to hype herself up. And it just makes so much sense. It explains everything we need to know about her.
It explains
right?
everything about Seth.
Everything.
The thing that cracked me up so much, though, is when she named it, Jay's response was Bodies Hit the Floor, and she's like, yeah, and she goes, Sav, like, it was kind of like in awe but also like scandalized a little bit, like, but I mean, this, she's known her for like half her life, Sav.
I don't know, I loved that though.
Oh, I do too.
So that's the first song on the Mint Mix, and then so the theme is obviously nu metal, so I have two more nu metal songs. The next one is Limp Bizkit, Break Stuff, which I'll put the edited version on the Mint Mix because we want to keep it somewhat clean on here. But that's a song if you need to get pumped up or if you're mad about something, you go listen to that. There's that. And my last song is Rage Against the Machine, Guerrilla Radio. That will also get the blood pumping. And yeah, those are some great nu metal songs. Sav, if you need any more suggestions, I can give you some more pump up songs. Yeah, so that's the Mint Mix for this week. I love a theme, and I love getting to do this.
Excellent, and I love the fact that our listeners that are listening to the Mint Mix, listening to it in full. You know what? You are sticking it to the man. Big algorithm is trying to tell you what kind of music you're listening to. Big Spotify. But no, you listen to the Mint Mix, you confuse the algorithm, and they'll never figure you out. So it's the Mint Mix, not only is it a great listen, it is defense against AI, ChatGPT, or all these different ways. Let's round, get into stoppage time here. Our 3 points. Which Becky, you had, pardon me, Boo, you had mentioned that a good 3 points, and I wholeheartedly agree, would be a player that in the last three matches was very impactful, that made you think, that really stood out to you. And I think that's an excellent question. So I will start with you. What do you think, Moore? Who is a player that stood out to you over these past three matches?
I mean, there's some obvious ones, and obviously Sav DeMello is one of them. But once again, I think I'm going to take the other obvious answer, or one of the obvious answers, and say Abby Ersig, because we give her so much praise in this podcast, and it's all completely earned, because I mean, she has just been key at keeping the back line cool, calm, and collected, and all the defense. And even when, you know, everybody is doing the full team defense, I just feel like they're so much more organized and just so much more aware of what they're supposed to be doing. I know that's not all Abby, a lot of that's Bev, a lot of that's, you know, Kim and just the team coming together, but I don't think you can diminish how impactful Abby is. And like the thing that I love the most about her is the, especially with the spirit that has like these young kind of cocky attackers that like come at her and they're like doing crossovers and they're trying to get her to bite. And she literally just stands there like, okay, I'm not going to commit.
Are you done yet?
Yeah. Like, are you done that? Like I'm, and she like, she's always staring right at the ball too. Like other players are like looking up and down or like watching the feet, and she's always looking right at the ball. And then when they finally commit, she just puts her foot out and bump, like it's done. Like she's dispossessed Rodden in that way. She's dispossessed. She really clearly dispossessed. Sanchez was trying to like make like a fancy run. Like she made it down our left flank and then was trying to cut along the goal line and get around Abby to get a cross off. And like Abby just stopped her dead in her tracks. She made like four headed clearances during this game. She also almost got a header in this game, you know, went over the goal, but she got, you know, once again, just like she did in the first Spirit game, Air Kiwi got up higher than everybody else. So, I mean, she's just been so rock solid. Even in games that have not been perfect for her, she's still never been bad. And yeah. I can't say that for, you know, a lot of players in the league. So I think, especially in these last three games, she's played a pretty pivotal role in all of them. So, yeah, Abby Ersig is my choice.
Excellent. What about you, Caitlin?
I'm going to go with maybe in terms of being, I think we've called her a super sub earlier, Tembi Katlana has just provided a spark for this team when they needed it. And the fact that we have that that weapon in our arsenal that we can just bring out, and the other teams, I feel like the other teams don't know about it yet. It's like the secret that we have. They're going to know about it as she plays more. But she just provides that spark. She's so fast, but also
speed is insane.
Yeah.
Yes. But also she gets back on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just do whatever is necessary, which sometimes means getting yellow cards.
She's also a wrecking ball.
Yes, she is. She's small, but she is a wrecking ball. But yeah, I think she's made an impact in the, you know, truncated amount of time she's played. But I'm excited to see her just continue to grow with the team.
Excellent. Now, Tembi's been a lot of fun to watch. And is she under contract next season as well?
I don't think so. I think this is her last. She signed a 2-year contract.
And then immediately got injured.
Yeah, like literally 3 days later, 3 or 4 days later. I don't know. She, I think, depending on how she performs, of all the internationals, we're going to have to cut some based on just, you know, the slots we're going to lose and stuff like that. I really get the feeling that we might keep her. Of all the ones whose contracts are going to expire this year, which includes Chidiac, Wong, maybe they're the only ones, but I still think that of the three of them, Tembi is who's the most likely to get re-signed, honestly. So, Tom, who's your player?
I've mentioned Paige Monahan. I've mentioned Lo Malay. I feel I gave Lo a lot of love earlier. I am going to go with a player who I watch while I'm in the stadium. It's a little bit tougher on TV, but I'm like, how is she seeing the game? How is she reading the game? How is she impacting the game? And every time I'm like, holy hell, this woman is wrecking stuff. And it is Jay Howe. Jay is becoming everything that we hoped that she would become. She's getting smarter, starting to read the game better. Whenever the high press is working and we're like, oh, wow, this is why we do it, it's because Jay is cutting off all the passes that are trying to go over the midfield. I think back to the Mother's Day video that the team showed where all of the players' mothers said, announced and be like, oh, my daughter's, you know, Paige Monahan, which was adorable and wonderful. What stuck out to me the most was Jay Howell's mother saying, Captain Jay Howell, with just such obvious pride, not just that she was mentioning her daughter being a professional athlete in the greatest league in the world, but the fact that she was captain, that she knew it meant something. Jay has taken that armband, and the second she put it on, has never given less than 100% on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been so fun to watch. She could have, and Abby Erceg is a leader. Whenever she says something, they listen. There are lots of leaders. Carson Pickett is a leader. All of those players, Katie Lund is a leader. Jay's the captain, though. When it's time to speak, she speaks, but she always leads with her effort. She always leads by example, and it is fun to watch her play. She has a mean streak in her that you love to see for a player on your team. And I hate to say this, because the three of us know that there are times that we'll say something and be like, you know what, this is kind of an opinion, but it could be negative or whatever. But there's something that we have brought up and we said we cannot bring it up because it is a jinx. And darn it, I'm going to bring it up now because it is important that Soccer Holdings realizes this. Is the fact that this team is in its third year. And in the first 2 years, every single captain on this team was not on the club the following year. In year one, it was Michelle Batos, no longer on the team. In year two, it was Gemma Bonner. And then also they did the thing with like Nadia, Gemma, Jess McDonald, and Emily Fox. And of all those four players, only Nadia is still here and she's injured.
Well, Jess technically is, but she's
But I mean, she's played her last competitive minute in the NWSL, I think. I think she'll probably return. Very possibly. If I said that the club needed to re-sign Emily Fox and they didn't, like, all right, they struck gold with that trade and Emily wasn't going to be here. You need to make sure that you find a way that Jay Howell continues to want to be here. You engage with her personally, professionally, because she is, as you said, Caitlin, you saw it in person. She just played a national team player off the field. She's 23. Let's make sure that she is a captain here for years and years to come.
I totally agree with you. And I also want to bring up, none of the players you mentioned that were captains were as bought in as Jalen Howell is.
100%. Here.
Like, that's the difference. She's young and not, I don't want to call any of the other captains jaded, but they've been around. They've seen it all. And Jalen is just, you know, so young and so ready to be a leader and do whatever is necessary. So, and she's bought in. She loves it here, as far as we know.
And I feel like they were trying to get Fox to be a little more bought in by making her captain last year. I do think that that was probably part of it. But no, Jalen is 100% bought in. And I think that she has been so critically important to establishing the locker room and getting it on the right track last year that she absolutely deserved the armband. I mean, a lot of people thought that Abby would be able to just like walk in with the armband because, I mean, she was captain of the winningest dynasty in the NWSL for like 6 years through like their entire existence. Gee. I wonder why you wouldn't give it to her. And then also for like a couple years with the Western New York Flash, and they also won a championship before they became the Courage. But I mean, to her credit, Abby herself said that, like, I'm not going to walk in and like immediately be a leader because I don't know the culture and I don't know the club, and that's not fair to anybody. But like Jalen said in her great interview with Tyler before the season, where it talked about her captaincy with Tyler Griever, that she wanted to, like, the most important thing about being a captain was listening. And, you know, not just like imposing her will or saying the things that you think you need to say, but like actually listening and being involved with everybody on the field. And I'm really pleased and impressed by, after the Angel City game, you know, that really frustrating game, and we gave up a 2-goal lead and just played like crap in the second half after playing amazing football in the first. The first thing she did after the whistle blew is went to Abby and said, what do we need to do to hold on to a lead? So she did not try and like spin it as being okay, or, you know, reprimand anybody. She wanted to learn. Her first response was, I want to learn to be a better captain so I can help guide people through this better. And that is why she's going to be a successful captain. And I agree, that is 100% why we need to continue to lock her down. I mean, we have her for 2 more years, according to the contract. But I mean, I think we should do everything we possibly can, no matter what, no matter the cost, to make Jalen Howell and Savannah DeMello and hopefully Katie Lund as well career players for Racing. I mean, they are the new franchise, I think.
And you know what we need to do, Boo Morgan? We need to commission a sculptor to get ready to build a statue. Those three players in front of, or and who knows who else, taking nominations for a fourth or a fifth for the statue in front of Lynn Family Stadium. God willing, we see them raise a trophy. They've definitely got the talent. Now they just need to get those final steps in. I'm here for the ride. It's been fun.
It has been. It's amazing how much more fun it's been this year than it has. Like, it's always been fun to me to a certain extent, or I wouldn't do everything I do for the team. You know, I do love the sport and everything, and I do love the players, but like, it's actually been fun this year. That's a big step up.
So if it's been fun, then Caitlin, Becky, let's do this again.
And let's do it again later this week when we interview Abby Ersig. We will hopefully have it out by the end of this week.
Go big perp.
Go big perp.
Go big perp.